Let's talk about why.
Yeah.
You ate a peanut butter sandwich at 2 in the morning and then wiped your dirty hands on the pillowcase.
You got a hair on your microphone.
You have peanut butter on my pillowcase, so that's the more pressing
Sometimes
issue.
I get hungry in the middle of the night. What are you doing?
Looking for the hair you said was on the microphone.
I got it. Just chill. Boom. Shaka laka.
Don't say that.
Why?
Can you look at all of the peanut butter that's on these sheets?
There can't be that much peanut butter.
There's like 3 blobs of peanut butter. Oh, and there's a lot of peanut butter on there. Literally, you just wiped your hands on it.
I was hungry. It was dark. I was trying
so
not to wake you up.
So turn the light on. I didn't want to wake you up. I was already awake. No, I got up and said, what are you doing? And you said, I'm hungry.
You just said you have to wash these sheets anyway.
That doesn't mean you get to rub peanut butter on
I
them.
Didn't. I thought I wiped off my hands.
That was just covered in peanut butter. I like a peanut butter bath. Like,
does it feel good? Yeah.
Yeah. That's you. You're that baby.
Yeah, I really like peanut butter.
I know.
It tasted good, but I couldn't see when I was making it, so I think I put a lot of PB, a lot of jelly on there.
Well, I could smell it when you got back into bed.
Oh, you did?
Smell like peanut butter.
You like that? Yeah, you like that.
Okay, so this is Shadows on the Wall.
Hey guys, podcast. Before we get into it, I would love to say please subscribe, share, review.
Oh my god, they got it.
No, they don't got it.
Guys, you'll find
share
everything that you'll need to know
with
on
your
computer.
Computer? Just turn on your computer. All the information you need is right there.
I'm trying to go to the website, okay?
SOTWpodcast.com.
Yeah, that's the website.
Do you know what it stands for?
No. Tell me everything.
Shadows on the Wall, please, or
don't.
Don't. Because aren't
shitheads talkative. We crack ourselves up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you can hear the ice rattling in my coffee, but I'm not sorry because I'm going to drink it.
I can hear it. Gross. Coffee breath over there.
Coffee is not gross. It's better than peanut butter in the morning.
No, you want peanut butter in the morning.
No, you don't.
What would you rather kiss?
Not at 2 in the morning.
Poll question.
Oh, my God.
What would you rather kiss? Peanut butter breath or coffee breath? I'm going to go PB
coffee.
Every time.
Coffee.
I'll just make out with myself. What else is new? How you doing?
This is weird. This is very weird.
Got a cute shirt on. It says
Thanks.
Toy Run.
Yeah.
I imagine a bunch of little toys running.
You're on fire.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's an old shirt.
1980.
I cut the sleeves off of it.
It's still a t-shirt.
MBD, basically a designer.
Wow.
Yeah.
You cut the sleeves off yourself?
Sure did.
It's pretty even.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do.
How old were you in 1980?
-6. How old were you? 14.
Yeah. I'm old.
So, we tried to be really good people yesterday.
Why? Oh, yeah.
How'd that work out for us?
I'm too healthy.
That's not what happened.
That's exactly what happened. We tried to give blood, and you were turned away, and I successfully saved
Left.
The world.
As well. She was like, thanks, you can go now.
To you?
Yeah.
Aw.
And I was like, what? Okay. And she's like, but I mean, you're here, so you can like have a snack. And then I don't know, you feel like such a failure. I had to walk back into the waiting room, and the little old man sitting next to me was like ready to go. I'm sure they took his blood.
Yeah,
that
well, he
guy was like 90.
He hadn't just been to the Philippines.
Neither have I.
Yeah, that's why you couldn't donate.
Months ago.
Yeah, because of the what was it?
All the malaria.
All the malaria, yeah. And I couldn't donate because they said I'm too tranquil.
Not alive.
I have no pulse.
You have no pulse, sir, so we're not sure you have blood, so can you leave? No, but I was sitting there, and I was like, oh my God, this is like almost a little bit humiliating. because they were like, okay, you can just leave. And no one else got kicked out. And then I just hear her say again, well, thanks for coming in. And then I just hear flip flop. So I'm like, oh,
that was me.
He's leaving too.
Yeah, it was a rough time. But at least we spent a good hour and a half in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And got to go to Target.
You know what I love too? So you donate blood.
I do.
Don't. I'm trying to. I didn't know, like, obviously I knew they were going to ask like questions and things, but I love how it's like this room that's not private at all. It's not even a room. You're in between two curtains and they turn a radio on really loudly. So that's supposed to be like private. And I'm like, everyone can hear my answers. You were in the curtain next to me just texting me. I can hear you. I know where you are. I'm listening. Like,
I was.
So everyone in that room knows all my business.
Listen, it's a communal experience, and I feel
it
like
need to be that communal.
The reason you go there, I'm a big fan
personal
of
questions.
Bringing first dates to give blood because you seem like a good person, and you get to know about
who's that
their
guy who takes his dates to get like STD testing on their first dates.
Oh, on 90 Day Fiance.
Yeah, that creeper.
Pregnancy testing.
And he doesn't do STD, only pregnancy?
No, he does both. In the first season they were on, what was his name?
I don't know.
He's a serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
Before he would be intimate with his bride, with the woman that he had selected from the mail order bride thing, he made her get STD tested and take a pregnancy test. And then, but he also was the person who brought a sheath for his penis in case he had to go into any body of water. He didn't
How
want a worm
a sheath
swimming up it.
Different from a condom.
I don't know. It was like a little wetsuit for his dick.
And like
goggles
a
and a tank.
And little, little flippers.
Yeah, little flippers. Yeah. He had the whole thing.
And he had the bulletproof vest. Huh?
He had a bulletproof vest as
we
he was walking around town.
Some hard tangents.
If you don't watch 90 Day Fiancé, you are missing
out. Not living your best
out.
Life. Obviously, guys.
Because that's where I found Marissa. And look at us now.
What country did you find me in?
I'm trying to think. What would be the funniest answer? Without being super
racist. Yeah.
Yep. What country should I have said?
I don't know. For you, I found you definitely in like Norway.
I'm not even Norwegian. You're Norwegian.
You look it.
You're Norwegian.
Your
and Mexican.
Skin is a very pretty.
I'm Swedish.
White.
I'm Swedish and German. You told me in the pictures we took yesterday that I look like I have makeup on.
Your makeup is prettier than mine.
There's
what
no
I
makeup.
Said. I said your lipstick is on point and your blush
no
is a
lipstick.
Very beautiful pink soft shade.
When I shave, fellas out there,
you
let
turn
me know.
Into a woman. Because you're very gorgeous. I was a little upset.
Does this happen to anybody else? When I shave, my lips get very red.
That is very strange. Do you shave the top layer of your lip
yes.
off? And
I shave my
lip?
Entire face.
Is that not
I'm
what you're
a
supposed
werewolf?
To do? I take off that first whole layer of skin.
All right.
So for my story, I think I go first.
You do.
You know what I'm doing?
A story.
You're so right.
What?
We're always on the same page.
Oh, man.
I love it. Oh, motorcycle. But I'm mixing it up. I'm doing an urban legend.
No.
Yeah, you didn't get a choice. No, that's what I'm
doing. I like that immediately after you put up that poll about what
oh,
kind of stories people want to hear.
Oh, I put up a post too because I was like, people are for sure going to say urban legends and everyone was like, paranormal. I was like, well, shit. I've already written this story, guys, so.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Sorry. You're just going to listen to this anyway.
Hit me. Oh, I knew that was coming. Anytime there's a pause, I'm like, she's going to hit me.
That was a
start
tap.
The story.
That was a love tap.
You smacked
I'll start
me pretty
the story,
hard this morning when I was cooking.
On your butt. So calm down. Oh, and you... I won't tell the story, but you were very
what?
Cute this morning.
What did I do?
In there, cooking breakfast.
Why? What's wrong with that?
Just you had a little robe on. You're very cute.
I was wearing your robe. You can say it. It's very soft. It's much softer than any robe I've ever owned.
Very short, silky.
Yeah.
Seafoam green robe.
I looked fantastic.
That you insisted on, like, tying clothes.
Well, I'm a lady.
Obviously.
Jeez Louise.
All right. Let's get into this.
Hit me with that UL.
Oh, God. This is The Killer in the Window.
I don't think I've heard this one.
I didn't hear this one either, so I was very excited. Okay, here we go. Stacy Johnston was a Colorado high school senior who was looking forward to moving away to college in the fall in sunny California.
It's not that great.
No. It's very expensive.
Actually, I'm really proud of our state lately. The ban on animal testing. And yeah. LA's not that great.
And
the rest of the state.
Didn't we get rid of fur, too? I read that as well.
Yep. Yeah, fur is banned now in Los Angeles County.
That one seemed like it should have been a few years ago. I'm kind of surprised it took that long.
It's a big deal, though, because you think about Beverly Hills. You think about those women walking around in
their
furs.
Yeah, but then also, though, I think a larger part of it, like Venice and Santa Monica and all those, they're such health-conscious cities now.
Absolutely.
So I feel like that's just kind of taking over the city.
No, I think it's wonderful, and I am proud of LA, and welcome, Johnston. That's her name.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. This is not following. Good Lord, that's loud. A lot of crime, though, still. A lot of crime in the city. We may not test on animals, but we kill each other. Here we go. While her parents were able to afford her out-of-state tuition, she was on her own for incidentals. So when the Travis family asked her to babysit their twin daughter Saturday night, she immediately agreed. She wasn't thrilled to venture out into the snowy December night, but she needed the cash.
Oh, she's still in Colorado at this point.
She's still in Colorado, okay. Yeah. She had babysat the six-year-olds before. They were well-behaved, easy to tell apart from one another, and were always asleep by 7:30.
That sounds like me.
Yeah.
I am
No, that was
this.
Me last night.
You were out.
I was so tired.
I tried to watch a movie
yesterday.
At 9:30, and you
because
were like, yeah,
no, normally, to be fair, you usually text me by 9 saying goodnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when
and
I
then
go
all
out.
Of a sudden last night, you were like.
I was raring to go.
Yeah.
I usually go out and party at 9 o'clock. I just text you goodnight so that you don't
that
suspect
makes
anything.
So much more sense. Okay. The Travises paid $20 an hour. It was just the sort of quick money Stacy was looking for. When Saturday afternoon rolled around, she realized she wouldn't be able to walk the short 4 blocks to the Travis home as she had planned. The snow was picking up. Instead, she packed her book bag with some history homework she planned on getting done and borrowed her parents' car. It was just before 5 and snowing hard when she knocked on the door of the Travis home. Mr. and Mrs. Travis had a fundraiser to go to. Mrs. Travis was on the board of directors for the local hospital, so by the time Stacy knocked on the door, the couple was already dressed and ready to go. I just hit myself with the mic again.
You've been having a rough day.
Yeah.
I saw you fling your phone out of your hands.
I didn't fling
earlier.
It. I tried to turn the volume down, and it spiraled out of my hand.
And then hit like
hit
20
me
objects.
In the ribs, yeah. Ricocheted off, smacked into the dresser, which then launched it back into the side of the bed, and then back into the leg of the dresser, and then on the floor.
It was rough. And then you dropped your computer, and it was just a rough morning.
It's a rough morning. They chatted for less than 2 minutes, just getting the essentials across. Cell numbers on the fridge, pizza money on the counter, a movie queued up in the DVD player.
Oh, that's the best. I used to babysit
for
brothers.
Oh, isn't it the best?
And like the pizza
for
money.
Brothers?
For
is that a company?
For
I used to babysit 4 brothers.
These
oh, four?
No. For these 2 brothers.
Right, okay.
And it was the best. Like we would play we would eat. And we would watch TV, and I'm like, I am living my best fucking life right now.
See, I used to babysit as well, but the family down the street had a shit ton of babies. So there was like a 6-year-old, twins who were like 4, and a newborn.
Yikes.
And I had all of those, and they always insisted I give the twins a bath before bedtime.
No.
It was a handful. But I had a few jobs like that, and you're like, this is awesome. I'm literally just going to watch movies until they come back.
Yeah. I'd always do the dishes, though.
Of course you did. They'd come home and you'd be wearing her robe in the kitchen. All right. A movie queued up in the DVD player. Her job was practically done. All Stacy had to do was keep the kids alive until their parents got home around 1 a.m. No problem. While the twins, Hannah and Heather, set up a game of Jenga on the living room floor, Stacy walked in the kitchen to order the pizza. She pulled out her cell phone and dialed the number on the takeout flyer. Before the call could connect, there was a loud bang. On the kitchen window that made Stacy scream out loud. Remember our first episode when you insisted on screaming bang in my face? You did scare me. Just the first time, though.
That's true.
What's wrong?
That's why your sister calls me Bam Bam.
Yeah. That's true. She has a lot of nicknames.
She
has,
yeah.
Would you call her 8 Mile, to be fair?
Because she's a rap fucking icon.
She really is.
She's amazing.
She's crushing it. What's wrong? Heather called from the living room. Nothing, she tried to say in her most calm voice. I think a bird hit the window, that's all. She stood on her tiptoes to peer out of the kitchen window that was just above the sink, but could see nothing. The property was massive. The Travises had done well for themselves. However, Stacy didn't like the oversized house. It always felt cold and impersonal, and the only thing that stopped the backyard from being covered in darkness was the eerie glow of the lights that surrounded the covered pool. She had forgotten what she was doing, and it took her a minute to respond when the kid on the other end of the line picked up and asked her if it was for takeout or delivery. She placed an order for a large pizza with a small Coke for herself.
Whoa. Okay, so something's not right
here. The kids are 6. You don't need more than a large pizza.
You need a large pizza and then a pizza for the kids.
No.
If you're not paying, baby, get that za. How many of us are there?
I'll never say that again. How many of us are there? Yeah. There's 2.
And how many pizzas did we get when we were at Whole Foods?
2.
And those are big pizzas.
That's big. Yeah, but one of us isn't twin 6-year-olds, so they're going to eat a slice each, maybe.
Okay.
God. She joined the girls in the living room. They were on their 3rd Jenga game when there was a light knock on the door. Pizza's here, Stacy announced. The girls ran to the kitchen while Stacy walked to the front door, pulling the cash Mr. and Mrs. Travis had left her out of her jeans pocket. She quickly yanked open the door and froze. No one was there. She flicked the porch light on. Nothing. Cautiously, she stepped out onto the porch and looked around. "Where's the pizza?" one of the girls called from inside. "False alarm," Stacy called back and quickly stepped into the house, making sure to deadbolt the door behind her. She walked into the kitchen as casually as she could and fought the urge to call her parents to tell them she was scared. Stacy was the type of person that avoided anything and everything even remotely unsettling, but she was also well aware that she was set to leave for college soon. What would her parents think if she called them almost in tears because someone had doorbell ditched the house? She shook the bad feeling off and talked to the girls about their upcoming birthday party and the superheroes they wanted to dress up as.
What were they?
What would you dress up as?
If I was a 6-year-old girl?
Yeah.
Batman?
Faux show. Did I tell you when I was a kid I had a Batman scooter?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
It's why we're dating.
It was pretty awesome. Stacy was relieved that 5 minutes later when there was another knock on the door. It's a very loud truck.
Very loud
traffic. It was the pizza delivery guy. She quickly paid him, apologizing for the broken porch light, and again made sure she deadbolted the door. No sense in taking any chances. After the girls were done eating, Stacy sent them up to their room to put on their PJs while she turned on the DVD player. It was already approaching the girls' bedtime, but Stacy said they... Oh, I lost my place. Could start a film anyway. While she scrolled through the TV settings, something caught her eye in the backyard. The living room featured sliding glass doors directly across from the couch, giving a clear picture of what was happening outside. She walked up to the glass doors. Something had definitely moved by the edge of the property. She was sure of it. She pulled on the door, and it quietly slid open. Oh, God. She slammed it shut and flipped the latch just as the girls came back downstairs.
It's
going to be a long night. Ready? They all piled on the couch, covered up with a blanket, and started the film. Just 20 minutes in, Hannah was sound asleep and Heather was fading fast. Preferring to make only one trip, she scooped up Hannah and led Heather by the hand up the stairs into the girls' room. She tucked them in, turned on their nightlight, and slipped out of the room. As she made her way back downstairs, she heard a thud from what sounded like it came from the living room. Her heartbeat quickened. She turned around and checked on the kids, making sure they hadn't woken up. They were fast asleep. She pulled her cell phone out of her pocket and unlocked it, just in case. In case of what, she thought. Someone was just standing there waiting for her in the living room. She was about to be on her own, in a different state, no less. She needed to pull it together. She took a deep breath and walked purposely down the stairs and straight into the living room. No one was there. Obviously, she thought to herself. She grabbed her backpack from the front hallway, took her Coke out of the fridge, and settled in to get some work done.
Diet Coke.
Disgusting. Don't come in here with that trash.
I've always been more of a Pepsi man myself.
I know, you've said that to me on many occasions. I got it. Diet Pepsis. How do you just party? She glanced out of the sliding glass doors. It was really coming down now. She hated to drive in the snow. One more thing she wouldn't have to deal with out in California, she thought. Stacy hit the books, and 2 hours seemed to pass in an instant. She was thoroughly engrossed in her report when she suddenly felt a rush of cold air. She looked towards the hall, and her mouth dropped open when she realized snow was being blown inside. She jumped off the couch and approached the front foyer. The door was wide open, and snow was pouring inside. She rushed to close it, slamming it much harder than she had intended to. She held her breath. No noises came from upstairs. She hadn't woken the children, but Stacy was now terrified. She was sure she had locked that door. She ran back over to the couch, sat down, and searched for her cell phone, which had fallen somewhere when she had run to close the door. She found it between two couch cushions and sat back, having made up her mind to call her parents. That's when she saw him, standing, staring at her from the other side of the sliding glass door. Fear locked her joints. She couldn't get up to run, and in a panic, she threw the couch blanket over her head. Under the covers, she quickly dialed 911, and to their credit, they arrived just a few short minutes later. Stacy was still shaking beneath the blanket. She heard them knock on the door and announce themselves, but couldn't make herself get up. She waited until she heard them make their way back around the house and tap on the sliding glass door. It was only then she knew the man had gone. She peeked out of the covers, saw the officers standing outside, and ran to the doors to let them in. She quickly explained everything that had happened. When she had finished, the officers began to look around. The only tracks in the snow were their own. Where had the man fled to? That's when one of the officers noticed wet footprints. Ever so slight puddles that came from the kitchen and disappeared behind the couch. That's when it hit him. He reached out to touch Stacy's arm, slowly putting his hand on his gun. Miss, what you saw was a reflection. The man is hiding behind the couch.
Bum, bum, bum.
The killer in the window.
Ooh, spooky.
Isn't that creepy?
So, but he didn't kill her.
Nah.
So do we know he's a killer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's urban legend. They're all killers.
It reminds me of the urban legend about the guy in the backseat.
Oh, did you see that movie, Urban Legend?
The one that came out in like the 90s?
Yeah. That movie, when it came out, scared the shit out of me. Only that opening scene when she's like at the gas station and then the dude is a little bit creepy at the gas station and he's like trying to get her to stay and she thinks he's trying to kill her and she like gets away from him and is driving down and he gets up and he yells, "There's someone in the back seat." Oh, scares the shit out of me every time.
That's creepy.
It's really creepy.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, it was the best part of that whole movie.
I would believe that.
Yeah.
It's not a great movie.
You know what?
But a fun story.
I had never heard that urban legend.
That would be creepy. I mean, it's weird that he didn't do anything, but I had the thought that what if she pulls the cover down and he's just standing right
face
over
to face
her,
looking at her?
Like that to me would, I'd shit my pants.
Remember you asked me, oh no, you told me you'd still love me if I shit my pants.
And I would.
But then I asked you, what if I did it on purpose? And you said, maybe not. Maybe not.
Okay. On that note, we have a lot of fun conversations.
Urban legends scared the shit out of me, man. That's creepy.
It is creepy. You're also to extremely me, scared of someone standing in your window.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get
but
that.
But I think that's what makes it so creepy is that, you know, in all these legends, there's always like a slasher guy or whatever. This dude sure. is just like standing there, just like trying to scare you.
No, absolutely. He fully knows what he's just doing and he's playing games with your head,
yeah,
which is terrifying. Yeah, he gets off on the fact that you're so scared that you're hiding under the blanket.
And he's just standing behind you. Oh my God, and you have no idea.
Yeah, that's shit. Pretty scary. I think that's the kind of story that in the moment you're like, oh, haha. But then at night, you'd be laying in bed and you'll be like, oh, fuck. You're looking at your window. You're like, is that somebody behind me?
I told
me?
You I was writing this like at night.
Yeah.
By myself and I had to mm-hmm. stop.
I gotcha.
Do you? Do you got me?
Well, we'll see. If you poop your pants on purpose, probably not.
Okay, that's fair.
So my story, I have to give some credit to The Telegraph and LA Times.
LA?
September. 1944. Now, normally my history tales are set in the Dark Ages or even the 1800s, 1700s, 16th century. I'm just going to name all of the centuries.
Just keep going. Just keep giving me years.
This one's a little
dates.
Bit more recent. I came across this story. It's not very long, but it is fascinating.
We will determine that is what okay, I was trying okay. to say, but I'm having a really hard day.
September 1944.
We're ready.
Drink your coffee.
I'm drinking it.
Nine American airmen were on a bombing raid over Chichijima Island, about 700 miles south of Tokyo, Japan. There were several enemy ships in the water. It wasn't long until the American airmen were under fire. The first plane to get hit belonged to Lieutenant Bush, a 20-year-old kid from Milton, Massachusetts. He said it was the heaviest anti-aircraft flak he'd ever experienced. There was a massive jolt.
We're on fire today.
You know, smork.
Smork is my favorite.
Smoke poured into the cockpit, and fire could be seen on the wing, moving toward the fuel tanks. The lieutenant managed to keep the plane in the air until he dropped his 500-pound bombs on his target.
Jeez.
I know, that's fucking crazy, that's, right?
Yeah.
He turned back out to the sea, but it was too much. His plane was going down. He bailed out, ejecting from his VT-51 Avenger and crashing into the tumultuous ocean after his parachute canopy had ripped on the side of the airplane. Two other men with him, Jack Delaney and Ted White, sadly didn't make it. As he watched the other fighters meet a similar fate closer to the island, he noticed several Japanese ships closing in around him, preparing to capture him. It was then that gunfire erupted from more American fighters, soaring through the sky and pushing back the ships with the might of their bullets and bombs. Lieutenant Bush was able to scramble to a life raft and was soon rescued by a submarine. It was recorded that he had been vomiting and was bleeding from a gash in his head, but when he finally was pulled from the frigid water, he had only four words to say: happy to be aboard. So the other eight airmen that had been flying in their own planes weren't quite so lucky. And much of what I'm about to tell you was classified until very recently. See, they were all shot down, but like I said, closer to the island. They had no choice but to swim ashore. Stop playing with the mic cord.
It's not the mic cord. It's the zip tie
okay,
on the mic cord.
Okay, if I get
cord.
Static from your mic cord fondling.
Oh my God. You are so high maintenance sometimes.
Hey, we don't need to go into what I went through with the last edit. When you were holding the mic like an ice cream cone.
You know what? I like to just talk to you and have a little bit of fun, all right?
All right.
So sue me.
Yes.
That was a very loud swallow you just did in that mic. That's not great for audio, so pull your shit together.
They had no choice but to swim ashore. The Japanese were on them instantly.
God, how terrifying would that be?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I literally drown... Or I swim into what I know is going to be
you
hell.
You swim to soldiers waiting on the beach.
Waiting to kill you, yeah.
Absolutely terrifying. I mean, I can't imagine being on a in a fighter jet that's on fire and still trying to finish my mission and make it back to the ship.
It's so insane. Just like, even now, the crazy shit we do. But back then, I always think like, wars were so terrifying. You literally march up to each other and it's like, who can load a gun faster? And yeah, these planes were probably so shitty and like crashed all the time. You knew you were getting into like a death trap when you climbed in there, but like, you didn't really have a choice. Yeah, like that's...
Well, yeah, but no, you're right. And you think about like the Civil War and stuff when you would literally, it was much more civil. Oh, and I didn't mean to do that. But you, or even the Revolutionary War, where you would have to walk up and line up with your men, and people, they would take turns firing at each other.
So insane.
I just can't even, just and you're hit anywhere.
You know, as you're marching in, they're like, well, this is it.
This is it. This is it for me today.
There's no way I'm coming out of this.
The Japanese were on them instantly. The men were captured and brought away from the shoreline, away from the sight of their comrades. Marv Martian, who was a radio operator, not Martian. That would have been good, though. Marv Martian.
That would have been good.
Marv Martian was a radio operator and was the first to be killed. Aww. He would march to a grave that had just been dug. A blindfold was tied over his eyes, wrapping him in darkness as he was made to kneel at the grave's edge. A single sword strike took off his head. He didn't cry. He didn't beg for mercy. In fact, a Japanese soldier who later attended the war crimes trial said Marv only made a slight groan when the blade entered his neck.
Jesus.
That's the other thing, is the level, like, I consider myself to be a brave person because I'll do a haunted house. The level of bravery.
We don't know what bravery is.
That these soldiers, you know, still have today is insane. Well beyond me. Yeah.
But honestly, like, at least, I mean, if you've got to be like a POW, that's just the way to go. You know what I mean? You hear so many crazy stories about how they torture people for information.
Oh, just wait. Just wait.
Oh, shit.
The following day, Major Suo Matoba, a Japanese officer, was hosting a feast for several high-ranking officials on the island, including Commander-in-Chief Yoshio Tachibana. He forced an elder orderly to assist a recruited surgeon in opening the chest of a flyer and removing his liver, as well as a 6-pound piece of flesh from his thigh. These were prepared and
Merchant
served with sake at the feast. What?
I said Merchant of Venice.
What are you talking about?
Pound of flesh.
Pound of flesh.
That Shakespeare background.
Coming into play.
And they said I wouldn't use a theater degree. Joke's on you.
Matoba would later host a private party in his quarters and served an organ from crewman Floyd Hall,
so
calling it a delicacy brought in for special for his guests. They pierced the organ with bamboo sticks and cooked it with soy sauce and vegetables. They believed it was good medicine for the stomach. Another airman, Jimmy Dye, was forced to work as a translator for the enemy army. After several weeks of fulfilling his duties, Captain Shizuo Yoshi demanded the airman's liver be cut out and served at a party he was hosting, along with parts of another airman, Warren Earl Vaughn. So at this point, there were 4 Americans left.
Are they like killing these guys before, or are they literally like just cutting open their stomachs and letting them die? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm sure it's in the records that were just released, but they weren't in the articles I read. I can't. I know that the one guy...
You'd hope
that they would kill
killed,
them first.
Yeah.
The one soldier, I almost don't want to repeat his name just because of these stories, but he was aware of what was going to happen to him
when they basically ordered him to be.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. And at this point, there were 4 Americans left. 3 were executed, and 1 was beaten to death with clubs.
Oh my God!
The men responsible for these crimes were prosecuted as war criminals. The lone survivor, the man who was rescued by the submarine, would go on to become the president of the United States of America, George H.W. Bush. When interviewed for a book called Flyboys by James Bradley, President Bush recalled the thoughts rushing through his head when he was pulled on that sub. Why had I been spared, and what did God have in store for me? In my own view, there's got to be some kind of destiny, and I was being spared for something on earth. Earlier here told Mr. Bradley, I think about those guys all the time. It's kind of a sad story.
It's fucked up.
It's a fucked up story, but when I read that, Maybe it was just because I was so young when Bush was president, but I had no idea.
I would say, did you not know that?
Did you know it? Did you know that story? That, yeah. Did you know the story the whole time I was telling it?
I didn't until they were all being executed and you went back to the guy. I was like, is this Bush's story?
Yeah.
I did know that. I want to say I almost put it on my list too, because I want to say I probably heard of it from my grandparents, I feel like. I knew it like in passing that he was almost a POW and that all of his guys like died. I knew that. I didn't know like the details and that the other guys were like eaten.
Well, he didn't either until somewhat recently. I mean, he knew that they were all killed. But he didn't know about the cannibalism. That came out during the trials.
I didn't know any of that either, so Jesus.
But I can't, I mean, we talked about, you had that great story about that young girl who survived in the jungle after the plane crash when everybody else died. And kind of the same thing, like you are the one who survived out of everybody else, and they met these cruel, horrific fates.
It would be so easy to slip down such a dark path.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Just, like, give up. Ugh.
But that's the thing. I think you do. You have that choice at that point of how is this going to affect you? You're either going to do something great or you're going to let it ruin you, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. A level of heroism and like I said, bravery and courage that I don't think anyone can attest to until like you're there.
Yeah, and it's easy. I don't know. Shit, when you like think back on all the cruel things people did. But then I think if we were to go to war now, it would be, I feel like, more horrific.
Well,
would do.
And that's the thing that I did want to touch on, because this is obviously the Japanese were cannibalizing Americans. But it's in no way, shape, or form, you know, just the Japanese who have done things like
this.
It's every culture.
Crazy shit.
You think about what the Christians did in some of the, you know, the witch trials that we've talked about on here. And yeah. It's
that's what I mean. It's just like, it's like a free for all when there's a battle happening. But can you imagine though? I mean, like today with all the technology we have and all the different ways you have to like torture people and like fuck with someone's mind,
it's insane.
The shit that we would do to each other now.
Well, I think the shit we do to each other now. I mean, we're still involved in several wars, and there's several wars going on. You hear some things about people, how they're tortured and how they do use biochemical weapons and the sleep deprivation and all that kind of stuff. But isn't that also part of being like now in training to be in the military, you have to go through some of that stuff.
Do you?
If you're going to be a SEAL or a Ranger, and I apologize to anybody who...
You're talking about like the best of the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But you go in and you do like... I mean, the tear gas, obviously, they train you on. But there's also the much more in-depth sensory deprivation and sleep deprivation and all that kind of stuff. You have to be trained to survive torture.
Can you imagine, though, the people that have to do that training, the toll that would take on you? Jesus.
There is a killer story. I'll see if I can find it for one of our podcast episodes about a man who really pushed the boundaries and kind of, I think it was on the dollop. Did you hear it?
Oh, no, but I was going to say, it's like that other two experiment that didn't some college do an experiment where they did like a prisoner guard kind of thing?
Yeah.
And just how the guards just, it like went to their heads and they were like abusing these students and they had
to
like call it off.
Yeah. It was only, I think it was only 3 days that they were doing
that. It was not
long. The bell, I don't know what it was called, but there's a movie about it as well. But yeah, they divided the students up randomly.
Mm-hmm. Some were prisoners.
And yeah, and the prisoners became very, and yeah, it was crazy. It is crazy. And there's all sorts of things like that. You think about the experiment, I'm going to butcher this, but where...
I thought you were going to say that I'm going to do on you.
I'm going to do on you. But isn't there the experiment where in one room, someone's told to shock somebody in another room?
Oh, I don't think I've heard that one.
I will find that story so I don't ruin it right now, and I'll tell you the full thing. But people would cause pain to people in another room. And I don't know. Anyway, so my hand is asleep. Happy stuff.
Holding that mic too tight?
Holding that mic too tight. It wasn't really a scary story, but I just think it's so interesting.
No, that was like mine, the girl who fell from the sky. It's not really a scary story, but some of them, you're just like, you come across them and you're like, shit, I have to tell this. It's so fascinating.
Well, I think when you put yourself in those situations, like the girl who fell from the sky, or like you were saying, the soldiers who were swimming ashore as soldiers were waiting for them, that's when it really hits you of what must have been going through these people's heads.
Do you think you would try to kill yourself if you were one of those soldiers, if you were one of the last four?
Fuck.
Or do you think you would?
I don't know.
Like, the will to survive, I feel like, is so strong.
No, absolutely. And there's always that
chance,
minuscule, like, yeah, that bit of hope that maybe you'll be the one who gets out, or, yeah. But yeah, that's, I don't know. You want to believe that if you know it's coming, you're going to go out swinging, but I don't think you can say unless you're in a situation. Do you think you would have swam ashore, or do you think you would have just let yourself drown?
That's what I mean. Yeah, I feel like the will to survive is so strong, I would have gone ashore. Yeah. Because at that point, too, you're probably like, maybe there's just like a prisoner camp. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll just get
you
held
don't know.
Here.
Yep.
Maybe this shit is going to end soon and like they'll trade us or whatever. You have no idea. But then I feel like there has to come a point where they all knew, like, we're not going to get out of this.
Oh, yeah. So when you think about the first guy, Marv, who was marched to a grave.
But you know what? Honestly, that for me, I would have wanted to be him. Just to be the first. You know what's coming, but you're blindfolded and it like seems like it happened fast. You know, that's, I don't know. Shit, I don't know. This is really heavy.
Yeah, this is not a light episode. Oh, God. I like your urban legend, though.
Thanks.
Sorry. We really need to communicate better about the stories we're going to tell.
Bring it. Well, mine wasn't too bad. Yours just really
no,
brought
that's
the
what
vibe
I mean.
Down
like,
hard. No, but that's good. That's what we need, a little bit of balance.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So we're going to change this from being a scary story podcast to only funny, happy stories.
I like it. Next week, are unicorns real?
Oh, God. We're changing back. We're scary stories. Shit. Well, all right. That's all I got.
Cool.
And you got our stuff done at the top.
SOTWpodcast.com.
And what's it stand for?
Shadows on the Wall, People or What? Did I mess up those things?
That was close, though.
What starts with a D, right?
Yeah.
Do what?
I already forgot
what it
was.
We need to go.
All right, guys, this has been fun for us. And good night.
Sweet dreams.